Get ready to enter the Thrive Time Show.
Space is made for radio and not TV. Talking everything from play to Z. Autobots, bangs, haircuts, and glasses. You want to sell your body, sold to the masses. No classes or prerequisites. Just business school as raw as it gets.
It's a Thrive Time Show on the radio. Yes, it is. Oh, yeah. It's all about you.
All about you.
All about you.
All about you.
All about you. Then we bring the boom.
Yes, sir. It's Z and Clay, broadcasting from the box in the 918. Business school and the topic today. Check the syllabus, it's getting you paid. I'm making the business boom, it's what we do. You can do it, let us show
you. All right, Thrive Nation, welcome back to the Conversation.
To teach the Thrive Show on your radio or podcast download, where we're answering any of the questions, all the questions that you've emailed us to info@thrivetimeshow.com. And specifically, Thriver had the courage to email us a difficult question, a tough question, one we've been asked before, but one that seems to never get old because it's so common, is, should I work with my wife? But before we get into that subject, which I think is, see, that subject could get us all four in some hot water. So before I answer that subject, I would like to ask you a question that is less controversial. But first, I have a question for Wes. Wes, is it Harvey Weinstein or Harvey Weinstein? What's the name? What's the guy's name?
I think it depends on if you're Jewish or not.
But so the guy who basically started, the first guy that came out, that he was pressuring women, you know, and taking advantage of them, harassing them, that kind of thing. The guy before Matt Lauer and before all those other people.
Open the floodgates.
The founder of the Me Too movement. Is Weinstein or Weinstein?
I think it's Weinstein.
Do you feel that, like, he or Wilt Chamberlain would have a harder time getting into heaven? Marshall Morris. If it was based
completely uncontroversial.
On, this is not, because I don't. I,
oh, have, my goodness.
The question I, we have, well, is very controversial. Should I work with my wife? That's a tough question.
Well,
I would rather say.
As it stands, I think it'd be harder for Harvey to get into heaven. But if there was the media like it is now, back when Wilt Chamberlain was playing basketball, absolutely harder for Wilt.
I see. Here's the thing: is what you have done there is you have indicated really a lack of tact, class, discernment. Z, do you realize that Wilt Chamberlain in the Atlantic, it came out that he was bragging about having had a relationship. We'll call it having relations.
Okay.
Having horizontal activity with 20,000 women. So he said in order to do it during his career, he had to schedule nightly plans, double nightly, because he had a goal to get to 20. That is like his, what he claims to have been his relationships could fill up the BOK, because the BOK holds, what, 15,000 women?
Oh, no, I mean 17, 18, I think.
So it's bigger. So you have to have a line around the door of the BOK if all of his affairs that he allegedly had all showed all of his relationships, and they said, hey, if you have done the duty with Wilt, please show up here. I mean, so Weinstein's had what, like 50 women alleged they pressured him?
But you're assuming that Wilt had to pressure. I mean, you're talking about an NBA rock star versus, have you seen a picture of Harvey? I mean,
have you seen a picture of Wilt?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, yeah, Wilt he's a beautiful man. I mean, it's probably easier, I guess. But anyway, now we get into the difficult question.
Oh, gosh.
Okay.
Where did that rabbit trail come from? Oh, my goodness.
I wanted to avoid the difficult subject. I don't want to get into a difficult subject.
I'm not going to let you fast anymore. That's your fasting days are done. Your blood sugar's down to nothing.
Should I work with my wife? That's
crazy.
The question. Should I work with my wife? That's the question. Z?
Absolutely yes.
Okay.
For a period of time at the start of a business, your spouse, and let's call it the spouse.
Yep.
Because there's a lot of mompreneurs out there.
Entrepreneurs. Mom-entrepreneurs.
There's a lot of mamas bringing home the bacon. A lot of moms starting up. We've got one of our mentors on our Thrive. If you go to thrivetimeshow.com and get on to our business school, one of our lady mentors, Jill Donovan, started Rustic Cuff.
She did.
And I was just talking to her husband, Terry, the other day. He's a good buddy of mine. And
Terry.
Yeah, and I asked him, I said, how many days a week are you working on your business that you own versus the Rustic Cuffs? And it's about, from what he said, about 50-50 now, you know? So he helps out on the Rustic Cuff side. and he also helps out on his own side. And it's two, they're married, and they're working together and doing a great job.
I think what you have to do to work with your wife is going into it. You have to agree, just like any relationship, you agree on the boundaries of what you're going to do and what you're not. And I see a lot of entrepreneurs screw this part up where they're bringing their wife in, who maybe has a very brilliant marketing mind. They bring her into an accounting meeting, or vice versa. They'll bring in somebody who's maybe a brilliant sales strategist, and they bring him in to talk about accounting or whatever. And so you want to make sure you have those goals and roles and agree on those to begin, just like with any employee. Otherwise, it gets weird. I see a lot of employees that bring their spouse into meetings they don't need to be in, and they talk in circles, and it's weird.
I know. It's always a weird conundrum when the spouse shows up, knows nothing really of the depth of the business, but because they feel like they own half of it, i.e. because they are in marital relations with the person that started it. So
marital
technically,
relations.
Right, Wes, unless you signed a form up front, I mean, they, you know,
community property.
The community property. So they feel like they're an owner. And so they come in as an owner, then they can demand certain things be done. They can demand certain ways about things. And so I think that's where the wheels go off the train is when they come in and they start assuming roles and doing positions that they don't have any right doing.
And Marshall has business coached clients that are couples. He does it right now. He's done it in the past. He'll continue to do it.
And so this is why I hear from my clients that are couples, and they do include their both spouses as part of it. Okay, Clay, and I want to ask you this question.
Oh no.
Okay.
Oh no.
Is if you your husband and wife, okay, are working on a business.
Yep.
And you maybe have one employee, two employees. How do you decide when the end of the workday is, and when the personal life begins? How do you delineate?
I tell you what,
like when you stop work and begin just to.
That's a great question, and it's a question that I will answer. But I also want to make sure that Wes can pile in on this.
Hey, hold on a second. Hold on a second. That just, you know, that reminds me of. Hey, baby, workday's over.
Let's make clock out.
Let's you and me clock out, and then you hear,
oh no, we still have to do all these invoices, and we have to still tap all these new frames.
You can do invoices over.
It could be once again.
What do you guys?
Listen, you guys teed it up so perfectly there. Blood sugar's down, fasting, wittyisms are rich.
Yeah, let me jump in here and save this.
Okay, so let me just tee this up real quick, though. I mean this. I did not do a good job in the first decade of my marriage at all, because for me, work has always been and probably always will be vacation, and vacation is work. So on a weekend, I just don't know what to do, honestly. So like my wife and I have agreed on boundaries now. But so now it's like I went to Atwoods. I went to the store over there by 91st and Sheridan to buy Pinionwood. I had to go to Walmart. Had to go to Target. Had to return some jeans for her, pick up something. I'll just run around doing things with the kids. But if I ever have downtime, I don't know what to do. I just struggle with like, hey, let's go to the park. Because as a kid, I hated going to the park because I always wanted to get back to my business. And so for me, it's just about setting those boundaries. And I didn't do it the first 10 years of my marriage. I really screwed up a lot. And so now we've been married 17 years, and if I could go back and talk to myself, I would have said,
go out of the office. Leave the office. Go talk to your wife, not about business.
Because I would always talk about business, even when we're out to dinner, Jizzy. Even when we're out to dinner, I'm like bringing up a business issue, and then we're getting into like a discussion. And
yeah,
it's
date
intense.
Night, that's what the rules of date night. No talking business, period.
That was a rule you told me. It's powerful.
It's powerful. That's one of the date night rules. You do not talk about business. So
unless you're talking about it's business
unless
time.
Unless you're talking about business time.
Yeah, unless you're just talking about your, well, yeah, anyway, yeah. Back to you, Z.
Well,
Or back to Wes and Z.
Well, how would your spouse work? You have to have clear, defined roles.
Yep.
Clear, defined goals. And I always recommend.
Yes.
An exit strategy put up front.
Ooh.
Hey, baby, you know, I really, you know, hey, here's the deal. I need your help right now. We're starting, we're growing. But as soon as I can hire those two people, as soon as I can hire the three people, you know what? You can go back to doing your thing you want to do.
Here's
so
my
you have an exit strategy already put in place.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And I would also add what's been useful and many times I've seen is you don't work in the same space in the business. Sometimes you just get tired of looking at each other after 8 hours at work, all the days at home. So if you can figure out a way where you're both contributing to the business, but not necessarily working in dealing with each other all day,
right?
It helps avoid those nerves getting frayed and saying stuff at work that gets.
What I do, and Marshall, when he started working with DJ Connection, my wife had just exited the business after working with me faithfully for 5-6 years in the company. My dad took over, and so when you were there, you know, my dad was doing accounting. But now you're seeing my wife come back in of accounting. And one of the things we do is whenever we have to have like a budget discussion, I literally will schedule that before 1 o'clock because I don't want to get into an argument, you know, after one. Now I argue with many members of the team, not every day, but if you are passionate and you want to win, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, you know what they do? They argue sometimes. Not all the time. It's a respectful thing. They're not cursing each other out, but sometimes there's disagreement and somebody has to be the chief. And if there's that chief moment where she had to be the chief of accounting or I had to be the chief of marketing, you know, and you got to kind of, you want it a little laissez-faire-y, a little bit of downtime to buffer when you're home. And so I highly recommend that you just schedule a specific time if you have to have those difficult conversations and be firm about it, because a marriage can absolutely work great within a business, but just implement these moves. I want to ask you, Wes, because you're an attorney, and the subconscious mind, according to Napoleon Hill, and according to Psychology Today, anything you read about the human mind says that a lot of times when people are sleeping, they'll come up with answers to things. So you as an attorney, you'll be thinking about a case or thinking about a project, and then you might go to bed and wake up on Monday going, oh my gosh, I know how to do this, or I know the answer. I know there's the attorney-client privilege, so you're not going to talk openly about the details of a case with your wife, sure, or whatever. But how do you do the boundaries? Do you bounce ideas off your wife sometimes, or do you kind of have it completely separate, you and your wife, and you're separate the profession from the home, or how do you do it?
We keep it pretty separate. My wife, she's been a paralegal at my firm in the past for a couple of years before we had kids. She understands the business, but she has real no interest in it. So if I start talking about a case and, oh, I got this and this deal, and I just see her glaze over, and I'm like, just change the subject and talk about something she'll enjoy talking about, because she just has no interest there.
Now, Clay, all these questions are blind questions. We have no idea what you're going to ask us.
Right.
Now, so I don't want to be presumptuous, but do you have a question today that's going to ask about other family members working for you also? If you are, then I'll wait for that segment. But if you're not, I'd like to maybe touch on that.
I do want to ask that. It's like, should you hire your brother? Should you hire your family member? How do you do it?
So, yeah, let's talk about other family members. Because I've had a lot of family members work for me. And I've had to let them go, some of them. Some of them do a good job. Some of them I have to have tough conversations with. And so it's difficult. You know, you have a certain sense of loyalty, you know?
Yeah.
I remember once I had my controller was an aunt. And okay. I laughed. I looked at her and I said, well, I know if you're still over the company, at least it's staying in the family.
Right.
But really what happens is family can be difficult too, because they can be, they can have a sense of entitlement.
Unfireability
that they carry on them that makes it very difficult for them to be the employee you want them to be.
I see it all the time in the NFL. There's a quarterback who's clearly no longer good, but they don't want to let it go. And so you saw that this year with Manning, you know, with the Giants. He just isn't doing well. And it's kind of like, this dude's not doing well. We should probably bring in a younger guy to let him start or something. Obviously, we're losing all the games. We should probably. But it's like, yeah, but he's family. He's been the face of the franchise. And you can't make those pragmatic decisions when you're clouded by emotions. And so I think when you hire family, go into it with the mindset that if I fire this person, how's it going to happen? And maybe even pre-fire them, have the discussion. If I have to fire you, this is how it's going to happen.
And I might add, too, I've seen this very difficult in some situations with family are your partner's kids. Mm. Because watching someone dress down your own child is a totally different emotional experience than a brother or a sister or wife that's an adult. So that's something to be very careful with.
Now, Thrive Nation, when we come back, we're going to be answering another question from the Thrive Nation, which is, how do I write somebody up, hold them accountable, and how do I fire people? In this litigious world, how do you write someone up, hold them accountable, and fire people? Stay tuned.